Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome to Out of the Abyss. This is your host, Lot, as always, accompanied by the usual suspects, Pip and Jake.
Hey.
Hello.
Last week's topic of missing 411 was a little bit concerning, hey guys?
It was pretty fucked up, dude.
Pretty
like
concerning.
That dude that, like, he went missing and then, like, woke up on the other side of the country. To me, that's, like, that'd be the scariest thing in the world, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's you're gone. And even more weird was it, he got, like, a haircut and a new phone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
No explanation.
Also weird that he couldn't have used the phone in the time he was missing.
Well, I'm sure it was, like, a mental thing. Like, you literally black out for however long. Right?
Wake up in full ski gear?
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, it was what
a haircut
was,
and new phone.
Yeah, dude. Styling. Maybe he was hanging out with Drake for, like, a couple of days.
Man, I want to know the route that he took, man. What is that, like, quadruple black diamond? And then there's, like, an infinity sign in there?
Yeah, they said it was, like, from... He was skiing in New York, and they found him in California.
Huh.
I'll never forget the time I was skiing, and I was going up the ski lift, and it was doing the different symbols, you know, like the green circle, the blue square, the black diamond, and then it did the Volkswagen symbol, and I got really confused.
That's a weird one.
Yeah.
This week, I really wanted to take a look at something that has haunted me since I first learned of it when I was a little kid. Legit, like,
ooh.
I remember reading this in books as a little kid and being super wigged out. Tonight.
I didn't know you. This was a long haul one for you.
Oh yeah, a lot of these topics I used to listen to a lot of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell, and absorb all of those stories and informations when I was really little. So a lot of these topics are near and dear to my heart. This one, we are looking at the Hopkinsville goblins.
What kind of goblins are you talking about, dude?
Dude, I'm talking
the Hopkinsville
short
variety.
I'm talking short, stumpy, big eyes, big pointy ears up near the side of their head, spindly arms. Hopkinsville is a town.
Sounds pretty goblin-y for sure, yeah.
Yeah, pretty goblin-y. Hopkinsville is a town in Kentucky. It was actually on a farm near that town. This story is moderately famous, but it's not discussed, I think, as much as it should be. Ufologists regard it as significant and well-documented, but skeptics use it as an example of people misidentifying barn owls or horned owls.
Okay.
Psychologists use it as an example of pseudoscience. Hell, if we're talking fame, they even modeled the Pokemon Sableye off the reported appearance of these creatures. That was the inspiration for Sableye.
I'm pretty suspicious about the barn owl thing, because I'm lightly familiar with this story, and I do not believe that these people would react in such a way with a bunch of owls.
Yeah. Eh,
fair.
But we'll come to that later.
Sableye is the fucking the gem one, right?
Yeah, the weird gem eyes. It's like a ghost type.
Yeah.
That's how you know you made it as a cryptid. When you,
looks
like
a goblin.
Pokemon.
A little bit.
Yeah. You're a musician. As a musician, you make it when Weird Al makes like a parody of your music. And as a cryptid, you've made it when they turn you into a ghost-type Pokemon. You're in. There's also a really famous sketch that was made. I've included some pictures in your dossiers, gentlemen.
Ah, there it is. I see it.
That's actually
wait.
So terrifying.
Yeah. So,
wait, where's the Bigfoot Pokemon?
Dude, I used to know a kid in high school whose eyes were as far apart as this picture.
There is no way, dude.
Actually.
There's no way. He's like a horse.
We used to call him Fish Eyes, actually.
His eyes.
Is literally on opposite sides of his head.
That boy was literally a prey animal.
You see behind himself. That's good. That's a good adaptation. I'm surprised more people
can't
see
the
do
bullies
that.
Coming in high school.
So, these events occurred on the evening of August 21st, 1955. For the townspeople, the story began in the wee hours of the morning when the Sutton family poured into the Hopkinsville, Kentucky Police Department, telling a story of little beans that were assailing their farmhouse. They claimed that the small alien creatures, with a spaceship, were attacking their farmhouse. Elmer, Lucky Sutton, and Billy Ray Taylor, two of the adults in the group, said that they'd been shooting at around 12 to 15 little figures who kept popping up in doorways and peering into windows of their farmhouse.
They sound very, like, they could have very believably been, like, country music singer names, and I wouldn't have doubted it for a second.
Elmer, nope. Lucky Sutton. The police went to check this place out, because they were worried that some drunken hillbillies, who, just as an aside, were itinerant carnival workers. They were worried these people were shooting up their neighbors or something. But they arrived and they found nothing but bullet holes in the screen doors and the windows, several bullets lodged in the door and window frames, bullets out in the trees, they found bullets in the dirt. The police went back to town, hitting the family with the law enforcement equivalent of take two aspirin and call me in the morning. But one of the endings that I have heard is that the neighbors told the police the next day that the family had packed up and left when the beings returned at like 3:30 in the morning. And the family was just like,
"Shit, I'm out of here, dude."
Yeah, exactly. They were like, "All right, this isn't worth it. We'll just go build a shack somewhere else.
I don't live here anymore, dude. There's fucking goblins."
Yeah, this is their house now.
So, the people present in the farmhouse described the interlopers as being around 3 feet tall, with upright, pointed ears, thin limbs, especially the legs, which seemed to be near useless, long arms, and claw-like hands. They were silvery in color, or else they were like wearing a silvery spacesuit of some kind.
Oh.
Their movements seemed to defy gravity. They would float in the air, you know, take one or two steps like a moonwalk and just kind of bound up really high, or just appear in a high up place.
Just about to say, maybe this was people who had never seen raccoons before, but you quickly disproved that theory.
Yeah. They were described as walking with a swaying motion, as if moving through water.
Oh, that one does sound like a raccoon.
Is it possible that these people might not have been of the most sound mind when this happened? Possibility. And it could just be like an owl or a raccoon or something. They're just like literally shooting at the air.
I guess, but there's...
If it was one person, I'd be more inclined to believe that. If it's, you know, like a consistent story within a group of people, adds a lot of plausibility.
True. Sure, but I don't know.
What, mass delusion? Is mass hysteria really a thing, or was that ever really proven?
Yeah, it's super a thing.
It's definitely a thing. So, I don't know, like, you're all in the same situation. Some dude's fucking, I don't know, you take some kind of hallucinogenic, right? Some guy's freaking out about these fucking aliens, dude. And then all of a sudden you're seeing aliens too, right? I mean, that's not unheard of.
You think that a hillbilly took a hallucinogenic in 1955?
You can get hallucinogenics from a lot of different sources, right?
Wasn't there some kind of bread mold that caused bread poison that caused the hallucination? The same thing was responsible for the Salem witch trials.
Ergot poisoning, yeah.
Ergot poisoning.
That is a thing, but again, like, these people didn't display any of the, like, sickness signs. And the fact that they went to the police, these were outsiders. They are not big on the cops.
They were a bunch of carnies, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me lay it out from the family's point of view.
All right.
So Billy Ray Taylor was out for a bucket of water on his friend's farm in Kentucky. Billy Ray Taylor himself was from, I can't remember where, it was like Missouri, Rhode Island, somewhere north. Suddenly, Billy Ray saw a bright light streak across the sky and land, hissing in a nearby field. Taylor ran home, telling everyone what he'd seen, but he was laughed at. Laughed at? Who, I ask you, would laugh at a friend in such distress? Probably us.
Damn, bad friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, eventually, Billy Ray...
I think that's happened.
Yeah, today.
Probably. Yeah?
Eventually, Billy Ray convinces Elmer to go up to the craft with him. They walk out to the field, and they're approached by a 3-foot-tall silvery being that was hovering over the ground. Understandable.
It's like me and my dreams.
Now there's 2 people that have seen it, so they run back to the house and they start babbling. But carnival workers as a whole do not believe in idle flights of fancy. They're a hard-headed and stoic folk. And they just kept laughing at the two guys until Elmer's mother, Glenny, saw one of the things standing at the back door.
Oh, God. You led them right to us.
I believe it's a common thing in the States to leave, like, your front and back doors open when people were awake, because it was, like, airflow.
Oh, yeah, I've heard this.
So it's standing, like, in the open door, just, like, looking inside the house.
It's the whole screen door thing, right?
Yeah.
Just have that going.
What followed was a 4-hour firefight. Kinda. Because a fight implies that both sides offered fire, and what it really was 4 hours of hillbillies shooting wildly at goblins or aliens or whatever.
Well, you see, goblins are not known to being well-versed in castle doctrine. Mm. That was their first mistake.
Anyways, these guys were really letting loose on these things. Because the damn goblins kept poking their heads into the window to stare or trying to enter through doorways, get into the house. But they never seemed hurt by the bullets. Granted, the guns being used were only 22s, but a point-blank 22 will get the job done.
Yeah, listen, yeah, a bullet is a bullet.
Small, like, yeah, like, blown up, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But they'd shoot at these things, and the creatures would float down to earth like feathers. Like, instead of being launched backwards or something like that, they'd just kind of, like, bloop, 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 float down to the ground. Even at one point, one of them stepped forward and got shot point-blank. Elmer said that it produced a sound like shooting a metal bucket, and the creature just shrugged it off and floated away.
Drones.
They wouldn't stop trying to get into the house, peering in windows. Allegedly, even one of the men had stepped out onto the front porch, and he had his hair grabbed by one of those little monsters that was on the roof.
That hurt, dude.
As I said before, also hurt. They spent 4 hours battling these little bastards. 4 boxes of .22 ammo, which is about 200 bullets. There's about 50 bullets in a box. Police found bullet holes, like I said, in the trees, the window and door dressings, even in the dirt. The family said that the creatures had finally retreated, which gave them a chance to run into town and grab the police. Like I said earlier, the police even noted that a family of carnival workers wouldn't generally come to the police for anything. If someone tried to kill them, they'd shoot them dead and bury them in the backyard. The police would never come into it. They handled their issues themselves. But they'd run into the station freaking the fuck out. So the police felt obligated to be like something happened. So they went out, they stayed on the farm for a little bit, nothing happened, and they went back to town. So the other ending that I have heard to the story, the first one was that the aliens came back, and the family packed up and left before dawn. The other one is that the family, around 10 days later, was chased out of town. People were making fun of them for making up stories about goblins.
That would chase me out of town.
Yeah, that's the goblin dude.
So either way, they left.
Yeah, they left.
Hey, look at this guy. This guy fighting goblins.
The families basically tried to never ever talk about it again until one of their granddaughters actually became curious. Her name was Geraldine, and she assembled as much information about that night as she could and recorded it, and actually released it as a book that you can get on Amazon that I'm told is not very good.
Aww.
Now, Geraldine maintains that the events happened pretty much exactly the way that I've described. The craft, the gunfight, the antics of the beans, all of it. Skeptics, though, as I was saying before, really hate this. They insist the entities were just horned owls or barn owls defending their nests. They cite, you know, the correct height, the spindly legs, the giant eyes, the pointed ears, and the floating behavior of the entities as strong proof for a simple encounter with nature as the explanation.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but if you shoot an owl, that owl's probably going to blow up.
Yeah.
Of feathers and blood.
No, it's like that Beast of Gavey Dawn thing where they were like, oh, it was just a dog that someone strapped like leather armor to. This was just owls that someone had given like a breastplate.
Oh, yeah, totally. And hands.
And hands. They 3D printed the owl some hands.
Yo, small tangent. You guys ever see those birds with arms?
Yes. Wait, we're only at, like, 15 minutes? Then I can tell you guys about the stories of the moon-eyed people from that exact same region. This is a story told by the Cherokee, who have long held beliefs about a group of moon-eyed people living on the land before the Cherokee arrived. They claimed that these people had white skin, not pale skin, white skin. They also said that the beings couldn't see during certain phases of the moon.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
These things are mentioned on plaques and signs all around the Appalachian region, and mentioned in newspapers as far back as 1902. I believe there were some books from the 1850s.
Of course it's in Appalachia, dude. All the best cryptids are in Appalachia.
One Donald Patton and his father saw, and I quote, little white men that apparently appeared right behind Donald and then vanished. This was also in Kentucky. Also notable, these beings resemble the Cree stories of the Manigishi, a rare trickster people who are small with big heads, no visible noses, and long, thin arms. Also interesting, the Manigishi's cousin, the Mimigwans, who are very similar except they apparently really like kids and they'll come play with kids and then disappear if adults show up. But they usually show up around copper mines, which Kentucky has a significant number of.
Huh. Now the trickster thing sounds pretty on par for like the descriptions of their behavior.
Yeah, but why would they be fucking around with adults if they just like kids, dude?
Well, because they're not kids. That's why they're fucking around with adults.
Yeah.
If it was kids, well, they'd be like
playing.
It was
the Mimigwans, right? Who like kids? The Manigeshi are just tricksters.
Oh yeah. I misread that.
You know, popping up and down, getting shot in the face, floating around, grabbing your hair.
Vibing.
The bastards.
Vibing. But the mind connection is pretty cool because it segues really nicely into some other lesser known info that I've dug up. There was an email received by some paranormal investigators in June of 2012. A guy named Greg Newkirk received an email from a frightened man asking for help. Let me just read the email for you guys and I'll let him explain the problem in his own words. Hello, my name is David. I received your contact information through a mutual acquaintance who assures me that you are well equipped to investigate peculiar problems. Furthermore, I believe that you may have interest in these events beyond any compensation that I am prepared to deliver in order to have these issues sorted. For the past 6 months, I've been living in a rural home located on the border of West Virginia and Kentucky, where my family is nightly assaulted by creatures that I have come to believe are of an extraterrestrial origin. These beings appear to be the size and stature of a small child, devoid of any facial features, save for large, oily eyes and lipless mouths. They frighten my children by peering through their bedroom windows and chirping at one another. They actively attempt to enter my home in the middle of the night. Last month, they took my dog. The police refused to provide...
Chipped?
Guess not. The police refused to provide any further assistance, attributing the problems to wild animals and forwarding my complaints to the State Game Commission. I believe that they are coming from an abandoned mine located on the edge of my property. Though I'm armed, I'm afraid that I'm far too frightened to enter the mine by my lonesome, and cannot convince any sympathetic friends to accompany me, though I cannot blame them. I am convinced that the only answer is to collapse the mine. I believe this is where we can be mutually beneficial to one another. If you are prepared to assist me in this matter, I can offer you permission to record and document these events under the condition of anonymity. I can guarantee you evidence of these creatures, which I assure you are not wild animals. Please respond ASAP. Thank you.
The mind bit is pretty interesting to me. That really ties it back to the original story, right?
Yeah.
That would be the coolest job, though.
Paranormal investigator?
Yeah, somebody who sends you an email is like, hey, there's some weird stuff. Check it out and help me.
Yeah, that's the end game of our podcast, Pip.
Yeah.
So, they fired off an email back to this guy, sarcastically informing him that they didn't really perform investigations into subterranean goblins. But then, they actually got a response to that email just the next day. Here's the response. Thank you for the prompt response. I do not blame you for being skeptical of my story. I appreciate you keeping an open mind about my situation, and I am more than happy to provide you with as much information as I am able. I was given your contact information through a man by the name of Terry Rest. When these disturbances first began occurring, I was only inclined to confide in a personal friend who I knew had fringe interests. He offered to share my concerns with a man that had dealt with somewhat similar experiences in previous years. I accepted his offer. Within a week, I was informed that this gentleman had long since retired from pursuits of this kind, but was willing to provide me with contacts who may be willing to help. This is how I came to contact you. I do not have any answer to why, other than a referral and recommendation from a gentleman that I do not personally know. I was under the impression that you would know the answer, or that you would answer that question. I am located in Pike County, just outside the town of Hellier, Kentucky. Hellier is located roughly 30 to 60 minutes from the borders of Virginia and West Virginia, respectively. Most of Pike County is made up of small towns and rural communities. It is not uncommon to go days without seeing my closest neighbors. I moved to this area for the peace and quiet. I have received neither. I have lived in this area for just under 7 months, and in that time, the majority of the harassment has occurred within the past 3. I did not become aware of any strangeness until early December, although that is only when I began to keep a record of these events. At first, it was merely strange tracks in the snow around my home. I had initially imagined they were from some kind of animal, though it closely resembled a human footprint minus the heel. At that time, I was under the impression that it was simply a single creature. It wasn't until weeks later that I began to suspect that I was dealing with a number of what I thought were individuals hazing me upon my arrival to the area.
I like how the guys are like, no, we actually won't help you. And he's like, okay, let me tell you more. Hold on.
This funny. Right.
He's trying to get them with intrigue, dude.
Guess so.
At this point, I was incapable of keeping my dog outdoors overnight. Any attempt to leave her leashed would result in her barking herself hoarse until she was allowed back indoors. In the weeks leading up to this particular evening, I had awoken to find my shed doors open on several occasions, many of my children's toys missing or moved, and my yard in general disarray. I'd already given a report to the police, who were making it increasingly clear that they were not interested in my case, barring physical harm or large-scale theft. Second week of January, I'm having breakfast with my family, when my 5-year-old daughter begins talking about the kids without hair. When my wife inquired about these kids, she informed us that she had spent the previous night watching them play in the yard. As you can imagine, this was of some concern. I asked my daughter what these kids looked like, and she told me that they were like bald like grandpa and weren't wearing any clothes. The very same day, I found the wreath that hangs inside our rear porch stuffed into our mailbox. I purchased and installed motion-activated floodlights the next day, and for a time, the problems ceased. It wasn't until the end of February that our daughter informed us that the bald kids had returned.
Those damn bald kids.
This was 2012, right? They didn't put in a camera?
You got the motion-sensing like floodlights. What do you want from this man?
Camera would add a lot more credibility to the cops. Like, hey, police force, what the hell is this? You think this is an animal?
Pretty convenient they didn't put a camera up, eh?
Sir, that's clearly just someone with progeria. You're in no danger.
Just a couple of feral progerians, dude. Don't worry about it.
Look at them. They're vibing.
Yeah.
Continuing the email, I was awoken to the sound of my daughter screaming and rushed to her bedroom, only to meet her halfway down the hall. When my wife and I were finally able to calm her down enough to speak, she told us that the kids were trying to peer into her window, but they couldn't reach, so instead they were reaching up and tapping on it. She hasn't slept in her own bedroom since. It was that morning that I phoned the police for the second time, and they responded by finally sending a trooper to our residence. I informed him of the regular mischief, how I was now unable to let my dog outdoors after dusk, and of the bald kids. When we found the ground disturbed just under my daughter's bedroom window, the officer informed me very matter-of-factly that we were dealing with an animal, and I would be better off contacting the Game Commission rather than wasting their resources any further. Almost every day for the following week, I would find some evidence that something or someone had been on my property the previous night. Smudges on the windows were not uncommon, stones from the walkway dragged to the other side of the lawn, and I had found tears in the screen door. On Wednesday, the 7th of March, I finally witnessed the kids without hair for myself.
Sounds like a band name, by the way.
An 80s synth band?
Yeah, kids without hair.
Bald kids naked like grandpa, dude.
Bunch of escape cancer patients, dude.
Just vibing in a lawn. The dog...
stuff around, dude.
The dog woke me up around 1:30 a.m., scratching at the back door and whimpering to be let out. I noticed that the motion floodlight was on and went to the kitchen window to check that the shed doors were still closed when I realized that I could see the shadow of an individual cast across my lawn. From the angle I was positioned at the window, I could not actually see the source of the shadow or the actual floodlights. The dog was pacing circles around the back door, and I could hear someone rifling through the box on the porch. Filled with more anger than common sense, the only reaction I could muster was to bang loudly on the window and yell, at which point I heard the screen door on the porch swing open and slam against the house. I heard what I can only describe as chirping. It sounded much like a skunk, but more guttural. I then realized that there was more than two people on my property, and the shadow, which had been reacting as if it didn't know which way to run, was quickly joined by another. For a moment, I watched as the shadows chirped at one another, when I noticed a figure out of the corner of my eye. Standing in the flower bed, just to the bottom left of my window, was a small humanoid figure with sickly pale skin, completely hairless, standing roughly 4 feet tall. It was looking in the direction of the shadows, and had clearly come from around the left side of the house opposite the porch, and had not noticed me as far as I could tell. Its face was devoid of features, except for large round eyes, very reminiscent in shape and color to a bird's eye. It had no nose to speak of, and only a small slit for a mouth. It didn't appear to move. It didn't appear to move its mouth as it chirped, sounding more as if the noises originated from its throat. It was most certainly not a wild animal, and even more certainly not a child. I was too terrified to move, and watched as the creatures hopped to the others, and together they scrambled into the woods on the right side of my property. It was clear that there were at least five in the group. I have not mentioned this particular incident to my wife, and the only other person who I've spoken about these creatures to are yourself and the close friend who introduced me to our mutual friend, Mr. Wrist. I would prefer to keep things that way and to approach this problem as discreetly as possible. Since that evening, my dog has gone missing from the porch, yet to return, and I can only imagine that his disappearance has to do with these creatures. I've gone looking for him during daylight hours, only to find many of my missing belongings scattered at the entrance to an abandoned mineshaft at the far edge of my property. I don't dare go inside. My friend has convinced me that my experience is similar to that of other visitation experiences, providing me with material and references that back up his claims. I am aware of the outlandish nature of what I have told you, but I am afraid that I have no other explanation for what I have seen, at least this time. I can see no other option than to seal the entrance to the mine. I cannot achieve this on my own, and I am too frightened to try. I don't dare share this information with others for fear of ruining my career and the reputation of my family. I am prepared to compensate your travel expenses and offer you unrestricted access to whatever recording equipment you desire, but only on the condition of complete anonymity. Beyond that, I have no other desire than to be rid of this problem. Please inform me of what you would like photographs of and where to send them. Thank you again.
This guy is, like, fucking terrified of these things, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, this man's desperate.
This guy's got fucking problems.
Like,
Jesus.
So I live on a farm, right? Middle of nowhere. And I'm trying to, like, put myself in this guy's position, right? And I would be fucking batshit crazy if this happened to me, 100%.
Terrified.
So I get the desperation. Absolutely. But, like...
You're in a position more than the rest of us, I think, to encounter these things.
Oh, I mean...
Or anything of a spooky nature. Assuming it's real.
Sometimes you'll hear, like, coyotes outside or something, and you're like, oh, dude, that's really weird, you know, a little spooky, right? Oh, it's just a coyote, we're cool, right? But, like, if it turns out to be a little fucking... little bald boy or something... Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Super terrifying.
Speaking of weird occurrences in the middle of nowhere, I have an experience back when I was a kid at my grandparents' farm. I would sleep in the guest bedroom, and every so often there would be lights that would go by the window. And I told my parents about that, and they told me that it was just cars driving by, but the driveway is very long. It's like a city block long. And the headlights from a car driving by would not be bright enough to hit the window and, like, light everything up. Like, it was clearly going by. So I never caught a glimpse of what it was. But I did wake up in the wrong position sometimes.
The driveway here is roughly about that same length. Then you have about another one of those lengths to the highway. Right? And sometimes when cars drive by on the highway, I do see the lights. Depends on what kind of lights they're using, how bright it is, but I don't know. That's a logical solution, in my opinion.
I always figured, because, like, a car driving by, it would be at, like, a right angle, right? To the actual window that's facing.
Depends how it's oriented, yeah. But typically.
But remember, the light doesn't just shine straight forward, it shines in a big cone.
Yeah. They also had a whole bunch of those big, you know, those big grain silos.
It's reflective,
and, like,
too.
Trees, and, like, a whole garden, like, corn and stuff.
Wait, if it's shining on the metal could reflect it back into your window, right?
I guess.
It's important to note that Terry Rist, this person that keeps being mentioned, that's a pseudonym. It's used by a dude who writes really out there UFO literature about, like, ultra-terrestrials and, like, occultism and ufology.
Oh, that's a snappy name, though.
As well as some really wild stories about being a soldier in Vietnam and having to destroy alien bunkers, or meeting the infamous Indrid Cold, or the Smiling Man, who we will definitely get more into when we talk about the Mothman prophecies.
I was just about to say Indrid Cold would be a really good topic.
Yeah.
So what exactly is an ultra-terrestrial?
It's the idea of, like, people that come from parallel universes to ours instead of being aliens.
That's true.
Oh, I thought that was, like, people living in the Earth.
Also, Greg had no idea who the hell Terry Rist was or who the mutual friend was, but fuck was he intrigued. So, of course, he wants to see the photographs. He says so. And after a delay of several weeks, he receives this email. My apologies for the time it has taken me to reply to your previous email. The situation at my home has become unbearable, and we chose to stay with my wife's family out of state until an appropriate solution can be reached. I am at my wit's end. This afternoon, my brother-in-law and I traveled back to the house for the first time in over a month, as I needed to check on the security of my property and gather some belongings. The house seems relatively untouched, leading me to believe that the creature's motives were driven by the presence of my family. As you requested, I brought a camera back to the property for the purpose of photographic evidence.
Hey.
While my home was free of tampering, I was able to find a trail of creatures that matched the size and shape of those previously left by the creatures on my property. These prints lead into the woods behind my home, following a stream that runs near the mine. My brother-in-law, an avid sportsman, cannot identify the tracks despite his skepticism. Perhaps you know of someone better suited to identify these prints. I'll be spending the next two nights in my home and will send more images should the opportunity present itself. I'm looking forward to your thoughts.
It looked like...
They look real stubby.
Yeah, they're like fat bird feet, dude.
They look like if Stitch from the hit TV movie Lilo and Stitch was real and made a footprint. It's like the little stubby toes and the little stumpy feet.
Yeah.
Oh, like koala looking thing, yeah.
It's interesting that, like, it definitely looks like a real track in that it's not just a straight up and down imprint. You can see that the foot hit the mud and then went down and forward and, like, pushed that mud up.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like a fake at all.
You can see, like, wrinkles in it, too.
And then he included some other pictures. That second one comes with the final email that Greg received, which was a bunch of the pictures that said, "The creatures came out of the woods late last evening. I have enclosed photographs taken to the best of my ability given the situation. I have also enclosed photographs of the creature's footprints alongside a measuring stick. My brother-in-law is not as skeptical as he was when he arrived, and we will be leaving before dark this evening. I look forward to hearing back from you."
What is the second picture?
That was one that he tried to take of the creature outside.
Man, I really wish there was a
It just
picture.
Looks like a light and then, like, I don't know. Like some wood or something. I don't know. It's really hard to determine what the fuck I'm looking at.
Yeah, it could be a piece of bacon for all I know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks pretty clear to me. There's even, like, the tree behind, that grainy tree trunk.
I do see a tree.
For, like, a reference.
Yeah.
So something is standing in front of that, and it's clearly a lot lighter than that tree is, and it looks like it's blocking the light to the tree. Greg sent out some emails to the police, and he did confirm with the police in that area that they had investigated a report very similar to the one that he was looking into, but they wouldn't really divulge any more information than that. And what followed was a bunch of mostly nothing. People have tried making connections to phenomena like the nearby Brown Mountain Lights, but nothing concrete has ever really been connected, obviously. So, gentlemen, starting with Pip, I want to hear, what do you think it is? Is that an owl? Is that an alien? Is that a goblin?
It is a creature of some kind.
A terrestrial creature?
I wouldn't go that far. Considering the description of their, like, physics-defying behavior.
Yeah, and the fucking spaceship.
Although it did leave tracks, which means it is, you know, corporeal at least part of the time.
True, true.
Although, if it is
like
a trickster...
anti-grab stuff, dude.
Maybe. If it is a trickster, some kind of trickster spirit? Creature? I can't remember which one it was, but it was a trickster. Tricksters feel like they would fake trickster creatures faking an alien encounter seems par for the course for anything a trickster.
Yeah, like I'm more likely to believe the native folklore kind of thing versus aliens in this situation.
Yeah.
Like spaceship or no spaceship, like if these creatures have been reported for like throughout history and then, you know, they're like copper mines. There's this mine on this guy's property that, like, that narrative makes sense to me out of all these. But
yeah, but what's the explanation for the folklore, right? Like, why do they like copper? Why can't they see in some phases of the moon? Is this guy still harassed by these things? Did he move?
I assume
probably
so.
Moved.
I would move. Or I would start getting real, like, Roadrunner Wile E. Coyote on these things.
I was going to say Kevin McAllister from Home Alone.
When you buy one bear trap, you got your problem solved, dude.
I'm picturing, like, a piece, like, a couple planks of wood that are tamped down underneath, like, a drawstring, like a tripwire. And each side of the plank of wood would be connected to giant, tight-stretched elastics attached to two trees on opposite sides of his property, so that when something stepped on the planks and hit the tripwire, it would, like, release it from the sod that was covering it and just fling whatever was standing on the planks, like, as far away as possible. They've just shot something into the night?
I saw somebody do that when they had a squirrel problem.
yeah, I saw that once too with the laundry basket or whatever.
Yeah, just catapult them out of there. I mean, if those things can float, those things would be gone like Team Rocket, dude.
Just shoot a bunch of aliens into the vacuum of space.
That'll teach them.
They just like float back down, dude? I don't know. It's a weird one.
Question:
you know what you need?
Do they exit the atmosphere? Does they exit the atmosphere? No, they're SOL.
No, that's what that mysterious black shape is that's continuously floating around the Earth.
One of those dudes.
Maybe they got little, like, thruster packs all over their body and they can just go whichever direction they want, dude. They're not floaty, they're just momentous, dude. Have momentum.
I mean, maybe they got smaller versions of the same technology that makes UFOs do their UFO stuff.
That's what Jake was
maybe
saying.
They are UFOs, dude.
Oh my god. What if they're just...
Yo, they're UFGs, unidentified flying goblins.
Unidentified flying gangster, dude.
These people are carnival workers. What if these were just like the little people that worked at the carnival, like fucking with them?
Could be.
That would be great.
Aliens? No, just dwarves.
Just, yeah. They're mad.
Years of oppression. Led us to our final stand, brothers.
How come we haven't let dwarves start their own society yet?
That's a good question. There's lots of stories of, like, Tiny Town, which is supposedly, like, towns populated entirely by little people, but I don't think those are real. Those are, like, tourist attractions, mostly. Yeah.
I mean, how many tourists are you going to attract? It's too small.
People love looking at small stuff, right?
That would be incredible. Go to a cafe, charge someone $40 for a full meal. It's like one of those little meals that people make on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Think about the profit. Crazy.
Staffed entirely by dwarves.
Scrapping the podcast, we're doing that instead.
All right, yeah, we're moving. We're going to make a tiny town. We're going to chop our legs off at the knees. And we are...
No, we hire people to live there. We don't cut our legs off.
Man, you backpedaling awfully quick for the man that suggested it.
So there's bone lengthening surgery, so it stands to reason that there is bone shortening surgery.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a thing.
No, I've looked it up. There's definitely bone lengthening surgery.
Well.
Yeah, but bone shortening surgery.
Yeah. I'm looking it up right now, dude. Listen. I don't think they would do it I don't think it's ever been done because nobody wants shorter bones. Everybody wants longer bones.
There is no such procedure as a height reduction surgery.
Owned.
Sad.
Sorry, Pip.
You have to be tall forever.
Sorry, Pip. You have to stay 9'9" for the rest of your life.
God, I wish it was 9'9", dude.
Do you think you can anamorph into a little person?
I mean, if a person is an animal, then an animal should be able to become another person. Right?
I think it works like that. You become a different animal.
What if your hamster was an animomorph and it became you?
It's the weirdest episode of Hamtaro ever, dude.
Hey, Jake, I'm so glad that you could come over. And Jake just, like, bowls me over and runs into the kitchen and, like, stuffs his cheeks filled with sunflower seeds and then just, like, rips back out through the front door and, like, scurries up a tree. I'm like,
you look at the hamster like, what the fuck was that? And it just animorphs back into Jake.
Oh my god. I've been had.
Just what? Trading places, but with your pets?
As far as the Hopkinsville goblins go, that's all we know for now. I hope that you all enjoyed this slightly short episode and that you learned something new. Please remember to check us out on social media. We have a Twitter at OOTA_pod and a Patreon at patreon.com/OOTAP. By the way, we're running a special on Patreon for the next 2 months. Any subscribers at any level get an entire episode dedicated to them. honestly, at this point, recommendations and shares are going to be a lot more valuable to us than patrons, so I would recommend doing that instead. Or first.
Yep.
Until next time.
Or both.
This has been your boys, Lot, Pip, and Jake. And remember, everything has an element of the unknown. Have a good night.